Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Previously on Of Mice and Men and Monsters.
Fagin found me as a baby and raised me. I was told to go work a job. I would become Penelope and then rob her jewelry. But she ended up dead and I ended up running.
Well, well, well. Somebody's come back home finally.
Someone destroy all those potions before he just heals himself again.
And this black liquid covers the bones, which begin to snap together, taking humanoid shape. And the ghouls sit up and start to move towards you.
I'm going to pull out my potion of growth, and I'm going to become about 14 feet tall.
Penny, you know who your family is. Fight for me instead, like you're meant to.
Your attacks, you're going to have to make an attack against one of your compatriots. It's your turn.
Oh, goody.
Everything always happens right before my turn. Oh, man. I need to Google something.
Kate, is she forced to attack us or just not attack the other?
So with suggestion, I can make a few sentences suggesting a course of activity. And if she failed, which she just did, I influence her to do it. I influence her to, as long as it's not something that will harm herself, much like charm, you know, that would end the spell. And so instead, it's basically she has to pursue the course of action that I described to the best of her ability. Mm.
God, I just like don't know what to do other than I could just like attack. Like there's just creative option.
I mean, the fact that this is happening is very colorful.
I just can't find a reason that she, even if she agrees with Fagin, I can't find a reason why she would attack them. I was trying to find something kind of around it, and it didn't really, not attack you, but like something negative that isn't an attack, but I can't find the thing I thought doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Can I stick Pip on everybody?
You can. You can, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
My
All
mortal
right,
enemy.
Penny knows she needs to attack. Penny knows that she needs to get them out of there and to defeat these two people who she realizes have not been on her side and are actually the bad guys. But they're, like you said, there's like this little voice in Penny that just doesn't feel good about it. So she turns to Pip and she says, get him. And Pip That's one of my. Let me write down. Where did I write down what Pip's things are?
What the only attack this that is he my has chance. Is bite.
This is my bite. Chance finally mm-hmm. to squash him.
As I'm oh my feet. Gosh! You're 14 feet
I've been
feet
trying
tall.
To squash Pip since Pip's episode dead. One.
I guess also, why would she do this? I just can't find something that makes sense to me, and that's why
it
I'm
doesn't,
struggling.
It doesn't make sense, especially to your friends. Like, this is going to be nonsensical, but sometimes when we act out of trauma, we act the least sensible.
All right. I'm not going to send Pip. If it hits me, it's me just avoiding the whole thing. So I'm going to take out my rapier, and I'm going to attack Bertram.
Of course.
Bring it.
And I'm going to roll sick. For it, which you I really roll have an to attack. Do. I was just so sad about it.
You're secretly happy
oh,
about
no.
it. You ass.
Funny.
That's funny.
Oh. I didn't want this.
Yes, you did. But okay.
All right. Double so it obviously damage. Lands. I got a 6 piercing damage.
Okay.
Times 2.
Yeah. That's
why
enough.
Times 2.
I'm unconscious.
Yeah, 20 is double.
It's double that.
Oh, damn it. I'm so oh. sorry.
No, okay, you got to
so
do what you got to do.
Unconscious.
This is a random request, but being so large, as I'm falling, can I try and attempt to just fall on the shelves behind me? Like, I know I'm going down. Can I, my last will?
Oh, I love that. That narration happens. Body? You don't have to try. You just fall backwards cool. and you destroy the rest of the potions.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then if you give a mouse a cookie, if I fall on the potions, do any of them affect me at all? As I fall on top of them.
Oh, roll a d20. Let's go back to my original
potions.
Chart.
Potions.
It's kind of like what I did with
to,
the.
Let's go
with
back
the,
to the DM's potion chart that she had.
Yeah. That is an 11.
Okay. So this is a very interesting one. As you're falling down and you're losing consciousness. You make contact, you know, just like against all this wall of potions. And one of them specifically like happens to like trickle into your mouth. And as it spreads throughout your system, one of the last pieces of awareness, pieces of consciousness that you have until it all like kind of fades into black, is that you hear these thoughts and you hear these voices and you hear Penny's voice warring with itself as if it's like split itself into two, on one hand arguing that this is her family, you know, this is my family and with Fagin, and then another smaller and yet gentler voice saying, no, my family came with me, my family is found. You hear what seems like Eowyn's voice, just completely expressing just confusion and panic at seeing you fall, and even just this concern that you didn't realize he had. And then Fagin as well, you also hear just in his voice, finally, I'll have just enough changeling blood to exact the necessary potion I need to get that contraption working. And then darkness.
What is the ghoul thinking?
What fell on you was a potion of mind reading.
Whoa.
Very cool. That's awesome. So. That's super cool. And the ghoul thinks brains.
No, the ghoul is blank. The ghoul is blank.
The ghoul is like, oh, is that Penelope? Oh shit, what's up?
Oh, okay.
Damn, girl.
Hey, girl, how you doing?
Hey, girl.
You grew
Where
up.
Where you been?
You're 19.
You're 19.
All right, ghoul number two. Ghoul number two is still in the fray, you guys. And it's going to...
guys, it's just me.
Yeah, you got some shit you got to do.
It's going to come and swipe at you, Eowyn. Okay. 4 versus AC. Does that hit?
No, huzzah.
I know. I had a feeling that won it. Yeah, so it's going to swipe at you and totally fails at that. Now, this is bludgeoning damage.
It's going to take 2d4.
It's going to take 2. Well, not just that. See, here's what I like about this. it says that if it attacks you with a melee attack and fails, right? It's a crit miss, yep. Correct?
Yep.
So this was a crit miss. I rolled a one. And so it's, I'm counting its hand at, because of the type of creature this is. I'm counting that as the weapon. So you just see as it makes contact with, you know, and glances off, maybe it's coming at your midriff and it just glances right off that crystalline armor. Its hand just like slices right off.
Oh,
and so you said 2d4 damage?
Yeah.
Double it.
That's six.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. This thing is not looking good, by the way, you guys. So that, like, just the blood.
Was
like
it
this,
ever?
This sludge is just like kind of. Yeah, I know. He already was bloody to start off with, but just this sludge is like coming out of its stump right here. Awen, my friend, what do you do?
Yes. All right. How far away is Bertram?
Well, he's so large. So he, I mean, his feet.
How far away is his mouth?
What part of it?
How far away his is mouth. His mouth from where yeah. you are? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing with his height, it's 16 feet away, 17 feet away.
Okay. I'd like to throw some good berries into his mouth.
Okay.
All right, yeah, he throws good berries.
It is a big mouth right now, just by the way.
Oh, it's a, yeah, that's right. Okay, so it's just a straight dex.
Just a straight dex, yeah.
Oh, that's 17.
Yeah, that definitely plops into his mouth. His gaping maw right now.
Awesome. Yeah, so you're stabilized. You're back at one health.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're not knocked out anymore.
That's a very good thing. So that I'll count that as simple for you. You're just taking an item okay. and throwing it.
Excellent. Then I crack my thorn whip at that silly ghoul who just tried to hit me, and I pull him up next to me.
Okay. Roll and attack.
All right. Let's see. That is a 21 against AC.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's 6 damage.
Yeah, he's barely hanging on.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you pull him towards you even closer?
Yeah, just, okay. yeah, towards me, 10 feet.
Bertram, you come too. And although I'm not going to let you attack, you can do many other actions through that.
Why can't I attack?
You just barely came to consciousness.
I thought with 1 HP I can't attack. It is. You can't
not
attack
for
with
your
1 HP.
Not for
you
your
can,
first
but you just, like,
time
you just
back.
Woke up.
This is,
like,
yeah, this is me as
oh,
a
I didn't know
DM
that was a
storytelling.
Thing.
No, this
oh,
is a
I
me
didn't know
thing.
A thing.
This is a this
cool,
is, yeah,
cool,
you
cool.
saw me do this earlier with Awen.
Okay, so what? Okay, okay. Okay,
you just like you pop too. You're like, oh, I'm
yeah,
back.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Uh huh.
And you have like the shadows of, you know, those memories of voices that you heard in your head, voices that heard sounded like Penny and Awen and Fagin even. And you know that Penny's not, you know, completely gone. You know, Awen is, you know, feeling these hot whips of panic, but also concerned for you, which is always a nice reminder that he cares. And then Fagin talking about the usage of changeling blood for some contraption.
So I know I fell over the potions. Am I able to see? Am I able to see from like the ground nearby? Did any, or if they're labeled, or was there any like potions of healing that might have been remained like intact or unshattered?
Sure, yeah, you can roll a perception check for me.
13.
Yeah, you see within an arm's reach, you see a potion of healing.
Yeah,
rack that he was originally pulling, that Fagin was originally pulling from to heal himself. You see one intact.
I'm going to grab that and chug it like my life depends on it, because it does. I have one HP and nothing to heal myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I drink that. Let me look up what that is. Potion of healing. Just regular healings, not greater healing or anything like that.
No, actually, it is a potion of greater healing.
Oh, great.
That he was using. Yeah. I'm glad
you
used.
You roll that.
You told me that.
44 plus 4, 3, four, five, six, seven. Well, 8, 9, 10, 11. So, okay, plus 11. So that's good. I needed that. And after I drink that, I'm going to stand up. Am I allowed to stand up, or is that?
Yeah, you can stand. That's going to be your. I'm going to stand
and say, Penelope, snap out of it. He's going to take your blood and twist blood and create some kind of weapon. Don't let him do this to you again. Remember, what the fuck is her name? Robin's, remember what Marion taught you.
I like this. I'm going to have you do this. Adam, would you roll persuasion for me?
Oh yeah, come on, baby. Yeah, it's 24.
Okay. Penny, you have a moment of clarity where it just totally makes sense. Like, what, kind of like you shake out of it. And so you're able to have like a quick, I'm going to give you like a bonus round here where you feel like yourself straining against this and you're going to fight against it. And so you get to take an action that aids your friends or goes against Fagin. But then it's going to pull you back down.
All right, so there's nothing I can do to keep myself clear?
Only you can do that yourself.
So can I roll wisdom in this action and that do
when
that?
It is your actual turn, but here I'm giving you a bonus round.
Oh,
okay,
cool.
Got it. So there's nothing Bertram I can do at the moment
so
to keep myself.
All of a sudden, like you, for Eowyn and Bertram, you see kind of like this cloud that was over her eyes clear for a second. And so you'll get to take an action either to help your friends or to go against Fagin, but then you're going to go back under right after that.
Penny has one moment of clarity. Yeah, her eyes, she blinks open and she reads the room real quick. Her eyes fall on Twist. She pulls the Kyoto ointment out of her bag and rubs it across Twist's brow before she again is lost to the whatever persuasion is had on her by Fagin.
Okay. I can roll that for him.
Ointment's done.
Yep, I can roll that for him. And that was the last of the ointment that you just used. So I'll roll 2d8 and plus 2. Yeah, you're back under. Fagin sees this and he just growls out. By the way, let me heal my boy. Okay, he was back up 11 points.
Oh.
That was great for him because he was not doing.
You meant
well.
Twist or Fagin?
Twist.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Twist is back up 11.
Okay. I was gonna say, why is everyone groaning? That's really good.
No. Yeah. So you spread this over Twist brow, and he goes up. So in game, he's 11 hit points up. And seeing you do this, the sweet words that he was using with you before, you see like his true self shine through again for a moment, and he growls at this.
Zero, you forget your place. Come back where you belong. Or do I have to frame another murder on you to make you come back to me?
Roll a wisdom check for me, Penny.
18, baby.
Something clicks as soon as he says this. He has revealed too much. What does he mean by framing a murder on you? And the cloud over your eyes completely dissipates.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Called Shots Entertainment presents Menaces to Society.
Hi, I'm Pepper.
I'm going to put on a disguise so he doesn't
recognize me next time I see him.
Sure you guys weren't there? You look a little beat up yourselves.
That bar fight sure was fun.
Can I heal it?
Andre walks up to it and stabs it with the rapier.
You might, by chance, be the one who murdered those people in that bar fight.
Oh, well, that was definitely.
You could eat your vegetables. Cannibal. He killed a calf once.
I will take F of your finest skates, please.
Sonny, no F's not a number, right?
That does not explain the calf that he killed, though.
Hi, I'm Pepper. What's your name?
We need F pairs of skates, so I got them.
How?
How did that work? Hang on.
Might be the baby calf coming back to haunt you.
Tell your folks this is hi.
Do you enjoy podcasts with varying content, such as superheroes? And you see more of the bushes coming to chase the kids?
All right. I think I need to get their attention focused on me.
Tell them to leave them alone.
Transforming heroes.
And he nods to the giant dragon turtle.
You hear a crunch as I crush a building as I walk forward.
We have...
No, the library!
Not the books.
And a bit of horror.
It looks almost like there's entrails going in opposite direction. That's a little bit of whatever it is you can see. It's just these red...
Oh!
Ready, stringy stuff.
Okay then.
Yikes!
Then you should check out Dungeons & Pop, a tabletop variety show that involves several guests from the actual play scene, as well as other people who just wanted to try out being on a podcast, which you can join on our Discord server. We release episodes regularly on Wednesday on your podcast player of choice.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears! Hey guys, it's me, your dungeon master, your master teacher, Caitlin. So I first want to say thank you so much for being here, for listening. I'm on here also to invite you to reach out to us. You can find us on social media, both on Twitter and on Instagram. Both of them have the handle at OMMMShow. And there we invite you to just say hey. You can also give us feedback and suggestions for future shows, future books or works you would like us to do, as long as they're in public domain. You can even give us suggestions for some cool ideas for homebrews that you want to see tested out. You can also email us, omamamshow@gmail.com. And the last thing before we return to our episode, I also invite you to give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast, really, by offering a rating and even feedback on there, giving us comments. It allows us to reach a wider audience and for people to get their eyeballs on this show, and so that we can enter into the ears of more people as well. So if you have the time and the inclination, we would so appreciate that from you. Okay, that's enough of me. So let's get back to the adventure. Penny, it's your turn.
Penny is just, is so confused, has no idea. This doesn't make sense to what she remembers. And she's just filled with rage. And so Penny just absolutely storms after Fagin with her rapier drawn, ready to attack him.
Go for it.
I got another, I got a 19.
Oh yeah, that hits.
1d8. I got 3 piercing damage, so not much, but.
Yeah, this slices across, like, you do, like, a lower arc and just, like, cuts across his hip, and you hear him, like, howl in pain. Ghoul number two is going to come at you, Bertram. Okay, and it's also going to swipe. 8 versus AC.
Nope.
Okay, and it's going to completely miss as well. Even though you're a bigger man, or a bigger robot... It still has trouble there. Awen, your turn. You have this ghoul. You have Fagin. You also have Oliver. You have Twist coming too behind you.
Yeah. the ghoul that I just pulled close to me, Awen's going to crack him over the head with his shillelagh and try to finish him off.
Okay.
And that's a critical failure.
Okay. And you were using a shillelagh for that?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. It completely, like, it kind of wraps around uselessly around his ankle, and he shuffles away, and it pulls it out of your grip. Okay, so awesome. So this whip, basically, this club, you know, kind of like just gets entangled in this mess of limbs and gore and lodges in there. And so you lose the grip of your shillelagh. Bertram, you're back, baby. You're back and alive and big. What are you going to do?
So I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I want to do it. So let's just go with it.
Okay.
What I'm wanting to do with my brute strength while I'm massive is I want to take those spikes that are under, that are meant to like rise. I almost want to like dislodge that. And I want to try and like bring those spikes, like the table of it, on top of Fagin. So I guess okay, I kind of want
to
rip it out, and then I want to bring it on top of him.
Okay, let's first do a strength check for this.
And do I have a? You said I had an advantage on strength.
You do have advantage. Yeah. Great. So the strength check for this is going to be a DC of 10.
Okay. 9. Come on, you ass. Oh, nat 20.
Okay, yeah, you rip it. You completely rip it clean. And then you're going to make an attack with this?
I guess no modifiers or anything, just straight up
d20.
Mm-hmm. That's strength, I think, isn't it?
Oh.
You can add your strength modifier for this.
It's a melee attack?
Yeah, it's a good melee attack. You're right.
But no advantage on this. Or how does that work?
No. Okay. You have advantage on strength checks and strength
checks.
Saves.
Okay.
But not,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a 3. What I'm going to try and do here, I'm really hoping this would work because this would be really cool. I'm going to do Tides of Chaos, which I haven't used in a while. Basically, let me read it. Gain advantage on one attack roll, ability check, or strength throw. Blah, 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 blah. Until then, DM can make you roll on Wild Magic Surge table after you cast a spell. Why already do that? Okay. So basically, I get one reroll per long rest.
Great.
So let's just take that again, and let's see how lucky I can get. Would you believe it was a 2 again? So a 3. Oh, shit.
Oh man.
I love that. Okay.
Curse.
Okay. That is fine.
That would have been really cool if it would have worked though.
Yeah, you rip it off and you swing it through the air. But it completely soars over his head as you do that. But you still are holding it. You still have
a
potential improvised weapon as well.
And maybe even almost a shield. It's a good, oh no, it's so small. It would be covering up like my foot and like my shin. It would probably wouldn't be covering up much.
Would you roll though for potential wild magic surge?
It says that on Tides of Chaos can make you roll on wild magic surge table after you cast a spell. So I don't understand that because I already rolled.
Oh, it's not a spell. You're good. You're good then.
It's not a spell that I was doing, yeah.
That's completely fine. All right. Fagin is going to go next, and he's going to take a dagger from inside, and he's going to swing at you, Penny. That's a 3 to hit. So he like swipes at you, and you're able to dodge back, Penny. But you've seen this dagger many times, you know, used in a threatening manner. What do you do, Penny?
It's my turn again. Mm-hmm. I am going to, again, use my rapier and slash at him again. I'm going to slash particularly... Am I able to slash particularly at his arm with the weapon to try to disarm him?
Yeah. Yeah, you can try. Literally. You can try and cut that thing off if you want.
Ooh.
I would love to do that.
Do it.
Cut the armor off of him? Or cut what off of him?
His arm.
I got a 13.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Does not hit.
When Penny swings at him, even though she misses, she yells, "What were you talking about earlier?" And she swings at him.
You think I would let something like you, something so useful, go without a fight? I need to keep you loyal to me. And fine, you're not a fucking murderer. You should have been if you were actually an appropriate weapon like I can use.
And before you can finish a sentence, though, Awen, let's get some action from you.
Yes. Is the ghoul right next to me is still alive, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Barely.
I need to get rid of this thing. I am going to... All right. My shillelagh stick is on the ground. I'm going to pull my sword...
It's lodged in its lower calf.
Okay. Uh-oh. Okay. I pull my sword out, and I try to cut through its torso.
Go for it. Roll to attack.
Okay. All right. All right, that is 17 to hit.
Yep, that hits.
Okay. And that is 5 damage.
Tell me about it. What does it look like?
Oh yeah. I bring the sword right through its torso. It cuts in half and there's like goop just flowing out of it onto the ground.
Oh my gosh, all the goop. Gwyneth Paltrow runs from out over the corner and is like, yes, and gathers it up and runs away. That'll be $500.
That's her company's goop. I'm going to make this smell like my vagina.
Ha-ha, I made the same joke.
Nice.
Oh my gosh.
Aaron is not familiar with goop, so this is very terrifying to him.
You don't know that she sells like, candles that apparently smell like, is it her vagina or just...
It's, yeah, it's opposed. Like it's just the candles labeled. This smells like my vagina.
Oh my gosh! No, I read like books about physics and shit. Like I don't care much about the actors and stuff.
Wow. Today I learned that she encouraged people. She likes to eat naked in front of a mirror so she can see when she's overeating because she starts bloating. Oh. Isn't that healthy?
Sounds like an eating disorder? I'm so sorry.
One would think.
Anyways. Goop
also,
is
if
on
you're
the
struggling
floor.
With disordered eating, yeah, you should chat with someone about that. Not a joke. It's a problem. So
thank you.
And also, if you like goop, hey, you're welcome to be here.
Also, Gwyneth Paltrow, we would love to sponsor your candles.
Yeah,
we got some more.
Gwyneth Paltrow, we're currently open to sponsorships. I'll push goop. I will smell your vagina and I will sell those babies. I will smell that. I will smell those vagina candles like hotcakes.
And here's the DM. Oh, I'm going to throw the hook in, you guys. Let's bring you back to this. I understand. This is my fault. I wrought it. So I'm not even mad. Bertram, what you doing? You just got all that's left is Fagin.
I mean, it seems kind of lame just to do the same thing again. Would have been really cool the first time, but, I mean, it is a pretty sweet weapon. And how poetic it would be to bring it upon his head. So, yeah, I'm going to swing it one more time, and I'm going to try and, like, just bring it down on him, hoping to, like, just pin him to the ground under these spikes.
Okay.
That was a 5. I hate everything. I hate this game. D&D sucks.
It's like very unwieldy. You bring it down and it slams on the ground, but just next to him. Yeah. He kind of sidesteps and looks down and spits on it.
I'm not sure what you mean, Fagin. I have seen this woman murder plenty of people. But are you saying in this instance, she didn't kill that girl?
If you three must know, no. She wasn't the one who killed her. I had my men there ready to push her over, just when she thought it was her fault. The poor girl fell to her death, and I thought that would finally bring her back. She'd been talking too much. Talking about leaving. Never thought she had the guts to do it. But now that you're back... Penny, I'm not going to kill you. I'll kill your friends and make you watch. But then I'll put you over in one of those cots over there and chain you up. And he motions. And you see those cots in the wall aren't just like cozy little beds to hang out in. You see manacles from them. You see bloodstains as well. And it starts to click into place. The missing children. The people off the streets. Never heard of again. You see, your blood is too precious. And even though, yes, I could welcome you back. But really, you have more use to me of giving me your changeling blood than you do of being alive. For once, you can do something right and just slowly die. And he's going to he's going to take that same dagger and this crooked thing, and he's going to swipe at you, Awen, because you're very close. And he's going to go for your jugular.
Awesome.
Specific.
Come at me, bro.
Okay. 17 to hit.
Good blood. My blood's super old. That hits.
17 to hit. It hits on you. All right.
Oof.
All right. That is 7 slashing damage. Or I should say 7 piercing damage. He's going in for that.
All right. Awesome. Okay. I am very bloodied.
And you see just him rip it out, and just as he rips it out, just this, like, the crooked nature of this dagger just makes the pain that much worsened. And I don't know how Awen handles pain, so I'm not going to narrate that for you. But it's just like a blinding, searing pain coming out of your chest. And then as I'll use one of his... Yep, he gets these bonuses. And so as a bonus, he's then going to swipe back at you, Penny. And he's going to swipe it at your legs. And that is 16 versus AC.
Yeah, it hits. Okay. No, wait, I have the 18. I'm so sorry. I forgot. I'm 18 right
okay,
now.
Okay, no. So yeah, it fails. And so the shards come back at him.
Thanks, Awen.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Shards come back at him. Oh, yeah. So you have... How much is going to come back at him?
It's 2d4. And I had rolled 6 damage.
6? So he's going to take 6 damage. Okay.
And then whatever, Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to roll that as well?
Oh, I can roll. I wasn't sure who was supposed to roll that. 2d6?
Mm-hmm.
2d4, sorry.
2d4. 2d4, yeah.
6.
As it breaks off right there, it's going to just like come in. The shards from Penny's armor are going to break off and go into his eyes. And you just see like one of them completely just like dislodged and blood dripping down. And he grasps at it and just shrieks and drops to his knees. Why do you keep fighting the inevitable? Zero, this is nothing but what you are. That's why I named you that. I found you in the gutter, and that is where you're going to end up. Stop fighting where you belong. This isn't going to end well for you. If not with me, your worthlessness is going to catch up to you.
Penny, like, stifles a sob and just cries out, like, you lied! You lied to me! She didn't... Why did you lie? Why did you do this to all of us? We would have loved you. We would have loved you. And then she strikes out again with her rapier. 15.
With that, though, you feel this once again, this nudging, you know, in the back of your mind. And this warmth back there, as if like an extra guiding hand rushes down your arm. And this familiar presence, and once again, in Marion's voice, you hear, this is not who you are. You are so much more. And I want you to roll again with advantage.
I got an 18.
Roll damage for me.
Ugh, I got a 1.
It's all you needed. Tell me what happens.
Penny, it's not like a calculated hit. It's very emotional, but Penny just slashes down with her rapier at him. At probably his head or neck. I imagine he's sort of crouched over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not glamorous. It's not pretty. It's very emotional.
It is. And as you swing down, it actually cleaves right through and it separates his head from his neck. So he... clearly just, you know, not only is he clearly dead, but he his body just crumples over and his head rolls to the side and comes to a stop. And in that moment, you feel just this warmth emanating from that hand that struck. And you notice that some of the fuchsia begins to dissipate, not completely, but you notice just some of your normal skin tone starts to come back along your fingers. Just a little for now. But you can start to feel this internal shift. This anguish accompanied with something something akin to resolve. And although I can't name it peace for you, I can name it confidence, something you haven't felt in a very long time.
Penny lets out a really deep sigh. And there are tears rolling down her face, not because she's scared, not because she's hurt. It's just that feeling when something finishes and you're tired. And it's not a bad feeling. It's just kind of what it is. So she turns around to look at her friends, and she just kind of sighs again and says, "That was really hard." And then she just walks over to Bertram and kind of rests her head on his very, probably overlarge, like, chest or arm right now, just feeling really cooked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bertram.
Is Bertram still 14 feet tall?
Oh, yeah. I'm huge. Okay, I would imagine
so
that
like
as she was...
resting your head on his knee?
Oh, I was going to say that as you're talking and were you saying that or just narrating that?
That was really hard was said. The rest was narrated.
I think I would come up beside you then and sit next to you to make myself a little shorter since I'm so tall. And mm-hmm. then I guess you could lean against like my arm or whatever. And I would pull out of my bag. I would pull out the embroidered silk handkerchief with WD etched on it or stitched on it that I got at Count of Monte Cristo. But now that it's as big as me, it's basically like a blanket. And I just hand it to her and kind of let her and kind of give her that because I can see that she's very emotional. I don't think Bertram, he knows he's prone to put his foot in it and there's nothing to be said at this moment. I'm just going to be with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Awen walks over and I think his initial instinct is to like give Penny a hug. But I don't know if that's what he would do like in this moment with Penny. Like, I don't know. I think he just probably sits down next to her and like kind of like looks off.
Penny's still crying and sort of hiccups out a little bit like, I'm so sorry I attacked you. I was so confused and I don't know, he just gets in my head and I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I hurt you.
No, don't. There's nothing to apologize for. You came face to face with your demons and you fought them. And it always takes a toll. I know that wasn't the real you. That was the old you. And that version died with Fagin. Though part of me thought you secretly kind of wanted to get out some aggression you've been building up for weeks also. You seemed a little happy about it.
Penny sighs and stops crying and says, "Why not both?"
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Forgive me, Father.
For I have sinned.
It's been 6 months.
Since my last confession.
What would you like to confess today?
I have decades of failings I could recap here.
Today, I want to confess the worst thing I've ever done.
Okay. Lots to unpack here.
I can be kind of a crap husband.
I took 8 years of my life and lit it on fire in a matter of 5 hours.
So I did what any self-respecting father would do.
I lightly dosed his Gatorade with a powerful laxative.
And I guess sorry for making out in the confessional?
Since confession is about talking to God, I felt he had a right to know what you've done.
What I've done? What did I do?
Are you kidding?
Do you love Emily?
What the hell kind of question is that?
Well, you're not going to absolve me? That's the whole point.
Please leave the sacrament to the professionals.
Where do you get off talking to me like this?
Excuse me?
What the f- who is there?
Forgive Me, a comedy podcast from Rogue Dialogue.